Mark chapter 14 and verse 66. Our subject is Peter's denial, not once, but three times. And we're going to learn some truths from these passages of Scripture. Now, Mark chapter 14 and verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself at the fire, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, and I do not understand what you are saying. As he went out into the porch, the cock crowed. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after they all stood and said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech agreeth thereunto. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man, and I know not whom you speak about. And a second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice. And when he thought thereupon, he wept. A shipwreck is a tragic thing, a sad sight to see. Or a road accident is a sad sight to see. But because we see so many road accidents, let's just focus on a shipwreck. There are bits of cargo floating in the water. The ship is half sunk. Maybe the front or the back is sticking out. People in the water. Deep waters. Some people are struggling to swim, almost drowning. Whenever there's a shipwreck, there is always loss involved. Even if there's no loss of life, but there's still loss involved. While it's very sad and moving, perhaps, to see an actual shipwreck, there's something much sadder to see, and that is a Christian that has shipwrecked his faith. That is a Christian that has backslid. And even although the fallen one is raised again by the grace of God and saved from going to hell, there's always great suffering involved. And there's always some sort of loss as a result of the fall. Now, in these next few verses, we're going to read about the great fall of Peter and how he denied the Lord, not just once, but three times. And it's a most painful and destructive story. And one of the points that I'd like to make is that even great ones can fall. Never think, oh, I'll never be like Peter. I'll never fall like he did. Peter said that himself. Peter declared that he knew not the Lord. Even though he had said, I will never deny you. I will die rather than deny you. But here is Peter, who had walked with the Lord for 3 years, and yet he denies him. And it was Jesus who went with Peter to his mother-in-law and raised his mother-in-law from a sick bed. It was Peter whom the Lord took up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw the Lord's clothes become white and shining, and he heard the voice from heaven. It was Peter whom the Lord said, Come, and he stepped out of the boat, and he walked upon the water. Peter, yet he fell, yet he denied the Lord three times. What can we do? What can we learn to avoid doing the same? Because all of us, if Peter can fall, someone who walked so closely with the Lord. If Peter can fall, we also can fall. You say, well, that's just one person. Peter fell, but There's not many stories of others that fell. Well, these things are recorded. Many, many, many cases of people that fell. For example, Noah. Well, he was a great man. The Lord used him to build the ark. He stood so firm, although the whole world was mocking him. Noah, what are you building an ark for? There's never been rain. What are you doing? But Noah stood firm and he built the ark. He weathered all the criticism. He did what the Lord told him to do. But now, when it's over, we learn something. We read a terrible account of Noah, who drank much wine, and he laid uncovered on his own tent floor. And how could a man who could withstand the whole world, now a small temptation manages to get him? The righteous and rescued Noah, laying drunk on his tent floor, is a sorrowful spectacle. God had given Noah the whole earth. Noah must have been full of how the Lord had flooded the earth and saved the people. Yet all those memories didn't seem to help him from stumbling. We learn an important lesson here. Noah was able to withstand all that mocking when he built the ark, but at home he let down his guard. At home, a small little temptation caused him to fall. The man who is so strong on the battlefield of God, yet at home amongst the people he knows and loves, he relaxes. And he lets down his guard. And are we not like this? How careless we are in our own home life. And how little restraint we put on ourselves in the company of those we trust. Amongst those that we trust and love and live with, how moody we can be. How angry a word and an insulting word can fall from our lips, all in our own homes. This was the downfall of Noah. How we need to keep our guard up. You say, oh, it was only Noah. We don't have time to speak about Abraham and David and Hezekiah. All of these provide a sorrowful proof that the infection of sin remains in the heart of man, even in the heart of those who are the Lord's, the regenerate. And no man is so strong that he's beyond the danger of falling. Let us not forget this. Let us walk humbly before the Lord. There's a wonderful scripture in Proverbs 28 and verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, because he shall avoid injury and loss. He will not become shipwrecked. And then it continues. In the concordance, it says, happy is the man who feareth always, because he shall avoid that injury and loss, but that loss will come upon those that do not fear the Lord and are sinners. We're going back to Peter now. We're going to focus on Peter as our key subject today. The fact that this is recorded about Peter is amazing, because Mark's gospel is actually the gospel about Peter. And it is said that Mark was Peter's helper, and Peter narrated to Mark, who recorded what Peter said, and Peter was honest enough to tell of his fall. In fact, all four Gospels speak about Peter's fall, and Peter doesn't twist it or make it less bad. He tells it as it is, and Peter is so honest. He tells how quickly he fell. He tells that he fell even though he said he would never fall. And he also tells how the Lord forgave him and restored him. No book. You know, you can read many biographies, especially autobiographies. It's very seldom that we read about somebody's mistakes. People don't like to publish their mistakes. But the Bible is so honest. It does what no human book will do. It shows us our true condition. These things are written to show the church the wickedness of human nature. In even the very best of men, they are intended to teach us that after conversion and renewal, believers are still surrounded and live in a fallen world and can fall. The examples also underline the immeasurable importance of daily watchfulness and prayerfulness and humility. So long as we live on this earth, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Peter wanted to go into the palace of the high priest, and he had got into the palace. There was a maid girl that had opened the gate for John. This little maid girl must have recognized John for some reason and opened the gate for John and said, "John, come in." And John said, "My friend Peter, let him in as well. I want Peter to come in with me." It was a cold, cold night. They go to the open courtyard and they see a fire. And the high priest's servants are all crowded around the fire, warming themselves at the fire. Peter decides to join them at the fire. One of the commentators makes a point and he says, they must have been jesting about Jesus, telling terrible jokes about Jesus. And Peter was trying to fit in so that he wouldn't be noticed. And he would have had to laugh at those jokes. And they said, Peter should have rather stayed out in the cold than come to the fire and fellowship with the sinners and sit with them and jest with them and joke with them. Although it's a cold night, and Peter is glad to be at that fire, very soon Peter begins to sweat. Now he's under pressure. A maid girl recognizes him, saying, "You were with Jesus." And Peter denies it, and he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." He went out, and a cock crowed. He didn't react. It seemed as though it didn't really affect him. And then a second time, whether it's the same maid or a different maid, she began to say, "You are one of them because your dialect gives you away that you are Galilean." And he denied it again. There was no cock that crowed that time. Surrounding the fire, as I mentioned, were many of the high priest's servants, and Peter must have been terrified. He must have thought, what if Malchus comes to this fire? The one whom I drew my sword out and chopped off his ear, what if he came here now? I'd be in trouble. I don't know what I would do. Then the worst thing that could have possibly happened, happened. And it's recorded in the Gospel of John. John chapter 18 and verse 26. Look what it says. But one of the servants of the high priest, the King James says a kinsman is a blood relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. Now, this man, a relative of the high priest's servant whom Peter had cut off his ear, recognizes him and says, "Were you not in the garden? I know you. I recognize you." Peter immediately places himself under oath and says, "I'm telling you the truth. I don't know him. I swear I don't know him." Immediately, a cock crowed, and Peter remembered what the Lord had said. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter was in utter fear. That's why he denied the Lord, not once, but three times. It's interesting that we read that later on, Peter is not full of fear. Peter's very bold. If only Peter was as full of faith, full of the Lord, as we read later in the book of Acts, when he was in equally difficult situations. In Acts chapter 4, for example, Peter preached about the resurrection from the dead. Many believed, and John and Peter were arrested. Peter is exceedingly bold. He says, "Jesus Christ, whom you crucified." He's not afraid anymore. They don't know what to say. They threaten Peter. They threaten him and they command him not to preach in the name, that name, any longer. And he's still not afraid. He says, "Whether we obey man or God, you decide. As for us, we are going to obey God." He says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they further threatened him, but they let them go. Remember when Peter was arrested and he was put in prison and chained between two centurions, and the steel gate was closed and a guard was set at the gate. There was no way out. But the angel of the Lord came and the chains fell off and the gate swung open. And the angel said, "Peter, move out quickly." What if Peter had stood in the courtyard and not been afraid with that little maid girl? What if he had not been afraid of the kinsmen of Malchus? It's a miracle that if he was recognized by soldiers, "You're the one," it's a miracle that they didn't cut him to pieces there and then. God had plans for him. I believe that's why he was not cut into pieces. That's why he was not arrested and tried and executed. If he had been bold, the Lord would have delivered him as well. Why was he in such fear? Well, I want to give you some reasons. Perhaps one of the chief reasons of Peter's denial was his confidence in himself. If Peter had considered himself weaker, he would have really been stronger. But because he felt so strong in himself, therefore he proved to be weak as water, and he denied his master. The scripture says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." 2 Corinthians 12:10. Oh, if only Peter had relied upon the Lord and not his own strength. Another reason, he didn't listen to the Lord's teaching. He hadn't learned what the Lord had come to do. He hadn't understood what Jesus Christ had told them so many times, several times, that he would permit himself to be arrested and that he would be taken and slain and crucified and that he would suffer and die. The Lord told them clearly that he would rise again from the dead. And he told them the plan of redemption. They had seen the wonderful miracles. They had heard his teaching, but they had only heard with half an ear. Peter still thought that Jesus had come to set up his earthly kingdom, and the earthly king was going to bring deliverance. Really, many Christians today, they only hear the promises of God with half an ear. They think that Christianity revolves around earthly blessings. What blessing am I going to get now? What breakthrough will I get now? They hear Christ's teaching. They read his word, but they don't learn the deep spiritual truths. They don't take it in. We hear only what we want to hear. And then, when pressure arises, there is a failure of trust. There is a failure of faith in what God's word says. We know the promises of God, some of them. We know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that his mercies are new every morning. We know that his compassions fail not. Yet, when we are faced with trying circumstances, how easily we go to pieces. Courage fails, peace goes, worry consumes us. Our mind tells us there's no help in this situation. No one cares for me. In essence, our action and our behavior have denied the Lord who has promised to be with us. We're just like Peter. Why does faith fail? Because we forget that God loves us and cares for us. Possibly we let slip the knowledge that the enormous debt of sin that I had faithfully clocked up, it has been cancelled. We forget that we have been adopted as God's own children. All these wonderful truths. It has been said that a Christian or a believer is like one of those old-fashioned steam trains, puffing along the track, going along, pulling tons and tons of cargo and coaches. This train, however, these old steam trains, they are dependent upon the firemen shoveling coal into the belly of the engine, stoking up the fire. But if the fireman decides, I've done enough, I'm not going to add any more coal, I'm not going to stoke up the fire, that train will soon go slower and slower and come to a halt. If he doesn't maintain the fire, the train will stop. As a believer, I stoke up the fire in my heart every day. I read God's word, the word of life, every day. I reflect upon the fire, the indwelling Holy Spirit. I reflect upon the goodness of God. I reflect upon the faithfulness of God. I remember the promises of God. This stokes up the fire and we won't be overcome. Our faith will not fail. We will have power and strength to speed along the track to heaven. I will trust my Lord will be the result of being stoked up and full of the word and the truth of God. Peter's loyalty to Christ failed. And one of the reasons the loyalty to Christ failed was because Peter put himself first. And our loyalty also fails when we put self first. When creature becomes more important than the Creator. When our happiness becomes the most important. When our happiness becomes dependent only on the things that this world has to offer. We think we'd never be disloyal like Peter. Oh, I couldn't do what Peter did, deny the Lord. Yet, I've done it in the past. And how, you say? Well, let me give you a scenario. You are employed in a place of work. You have worked there many years. You seldom speak for the Lord. People don't even know you are a Christian. People never hear a witness from your mouth. They never hear the words of life coming from your mouth. Why not? Self doesn't want to be made fun of. Self doesn't want to be mocked. So we are just silent. I'm not going to speak in the office because they'll laugh at me. They'll make fun of me. I don't want the world to frown upon me. But listen, if the world frowns upon you for the sake of the kingdom, the king will smile upon you. They condemn us. The world condemns us. But he is near to justify us. The Savior says to us, to each of us, marvel not. If the world hates you, know this, that it hated me first. When we are afraid to speak and be counted as Christ's, we're really just guilty like Peter. When love for the Lord is low, faith is low, the result will be a fear to witness for the Lord, a fear to speak for the Lord. We will deny the Lord forever. as quickly as Peter denied the Lord. Another reason for Peter's failure and for any believer's failure is to keep the old nature in check. There are many that have walked with the Lord closely for many years. Peter, who walked with the Lord for 3 years. Peter, who was very close to the Lord. Yes, we may be new creations in Christ Jesus, but the old nature is still present. We still live amongst a crooked and a perverse generation. And the old nature daily tries to have its way. That's why the Bible says, and the Bible reminds us, to put off the old man, to put to death that which is earthly, that is in us, and to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. But not just once, to literally go on and on and on being renewed in the spirit of our mind. When we walk in the new man is patterned after God and has been created in his likeness, in righteousness, in holiness, and in truth. The new man desires to live in a way which is pleasing to God. Oh, that we'd be renewed and that our natures would be changed, that there would be grace working in our hearts, and that it would be clear to those around us that we are children, true ones of the Lord. You know, it's not just, I read this, it's not just about escaping the wrath of God. Oh, I'm a Christian, praise God, I've escaped hell, I'm going to heaven. No, I must daily seek to attain such a likeness of Jesus that it will inspire everyone around me to recall that there is a Lord and a Savior. In a likeness of Jesus that will inspire men to recall him to their minds. It's worth noting that Peter did deny the Lord. He did fall, but that was not the end. Grace restored him. And I'll just go over some points in closing. It's worth noting some of the keys to Peter's recovery. Number one was the crowing cock, how it pierced his conscience. God uses many unlikely things. Who would have thought that a rooster could have pierced Peter's conscience? It may be a headline of a newspaper. It may be the sudden death of a neighbor. It could be a little child that just says something that pricks our consciences. God has his cock that crow and prick our consciences and awaken our perception. He has many of these such birds. And then after the cock crowed, there came the look of Christ. Because here was Peter in the courtyard, and the Lord was in one of the private rooms. Peter must have been looking, what's happening in there? What are they saying? What is happening to the Lord? Many of the commentators say that there was a flash of light from the eyes of Jesus as they caught Peter's eyes. And that flash of light spoke volumes to Peter's heart, a look that no man could give. One thing that the look communicated to Peter was this: Peter, I'm suffering at the hands of these people, but it's nothing compared to your denial, how it hurts my heart. Yet it was also a look of deep, deep tenderness as the Master says to Peter, I love you, Peter. Come back to me and I will restore you. In one look, all of this was communicated. It was a heart-piercing look, but it was a heart-healing look. It was a look of great sorrow and a look of great joy all in one. A look which revealed to Peter the depth of his sin and the compassion of the Master's heart towards him. That look did work. And it was one of the means of Peter's great recovery. First the crowing of the cock, and then the look of Jesus, or the look of grace. And then what came next was the remembrance of Christ's words. Peter called to mind the words of Christ, and he remembered what the Lord had said, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he had thought about that, he wept. So these three things, they produced Peter's recovery. But there was one more thing that is far more important than all these three things. And that is this: Christ Jesus prayed for Peter. And he prayed. We should not forget that great resource which Christ used for Peter's recovery. We should not forget that he awakens our consciences. There are many roosters that crow and awaken our consciences. They quicken us and they make us alive and they make us sensitive. And then Christ looks at us with those eyes. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which you should go. I will guide you with mine eye." The Lord will look at us and he will guide us with his, "With mine eye, I will counsel you, I will tutor you, I will guide you, I will give you watchful and careful care. I will cause you to remember my word. Most of all, I have prayed for you." Christ is our intercessor. He ever liveth and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shows the Father the nail prints in his hands, the nail prints in his feet, the wound in his side. And he says, "Father, these that are here, I've paid the price for them. They are mine. They are mine. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. I've paid for them." The Lord has prayed for all believers. We read this again in John 17 and 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." The Lord wants his children to be with him where he is. He has prayed for us. What a great encouragement to see how Peter was restored. But also, in closing now, there's also a lesson to learn. Although it encouraged Peter, although it encourages many believers who have erred and fallen and almost become totally shipwrecked, but there's a lesson that we are to learn, a lesson that we are to be like him. We are to be instruments to restore the fallen. We are to emulate the Savior's example in this respect. We are to pray for the fallen. We are to look lovingly and pitifully upon the fallen. Your very look may do them so much good. We are to speak God's word to the fallen. Seek to guide the fallen back to Christ. And who knows how many you will rescue if you employ this strategy. The Lord said to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter answered, "My Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Then take care of my sheep." Then Jesus says to Peter, and to every other Peter, every believer, "Peter, follow me. Peter, follow me. There may be a price to pay in your service. It may look like you will suffer some sort of loss for following the Master, but we can never be losers in God's eternal service. Let us follow Christ as Peter followed Christ." What a glory, what glory he brought to the Father. How the kingdom grew because of Peter's labors. May we do the same. Amen. and amen.